I'm Gene Kansas. You're listening to Sidewalk Radio. We explore the cultural and physical development of life in the modern city through the lens of history and the context of community. Today's show, our five-year...
Hold up. I believe that I am the host today. Folks, we're flipping it around. Stephen Key, producer of Sidewalk Radio, will be interviewing Gene Kansas
for the
5 years anniversary. So, before we get down to our conversation, let's hit a little music.
Quase não vi nada nesses 5 years. Estar no mar azul é meu viver há 5 years. E de norte a sul é minha sina 5 years. Porque eu não vivo há 5 years. Quase não vi nada nesses 5 years. Estar no mar azul é minha sina 5 years. E de norte a sul é meu viver há 5 years.
Well, Gene, it's good to do this, to sit down and flip the script and have you on the other side of the microphone.
I'm happy to be here.
I was thinking about places to begin, talking about the five-year anniversary. I've been with you 2 out of 5 years for Sidewalk Radio, but I wanted to turn back the clocks of time and to rewind and for you to tell the listeners what was going through your head back in 2010 when you decided to make a show about real estate that wasn't really about real estate.
Absolutely. First, though, thank you for 2 glorious years.
Well, it's been my honor.
I think we've done a lot of cool stuff over those 2 years. I mean, we've covered a lot of culture and a lot of history, and we've done it in Sidewalk Radio fashion and kind of taken the show beyond the city limits, where, getting to your question, the show began, just this show about Atlanta and being commercial real estate, spending a lot of time in a car, and as we know, in Atlanta, that means by extension in traffic.
Yeah.
I was prone to listen to a lot of radio, and to be honest, I wasn't hearing a lot that I loved. And it wasn't that we don't have some good radio here in town, but it was kind of to the point where, you know, this was the previous election cycle, and mm-hmm. like politics was just becoming overburdening. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, if it wasn't the election, it was something about the recession, and it's like I couldn't listen to that anymore. Sports, you can only take so much, and I wanted to be having conversations about history and culture and things that got away to a degree from the day-to-day reality, but more the life reality. And so I started writing this concept for a show. I met Joe Weber, who owns the station in a building on Peachtree Street. We were talking not about real estate while we were touring through real estate. We were talking about cake frosting and icing and manufacturing. And I was like, yeah, so what else do you do? He said, I own a radio station. And like the light bulb quickly went on. I was like, I want to come talk to you about this radio show idea that I have. And he said, well, come on in. So I went in that next Monday, pitched Sidewalk Radio, and he said, we'll give you 3 months, and here we are for the five-year anniversary show.
One of my favorite things in working with you over the last couple of years on Sidewalk Radio is you coming up with an idea, a very broad idea, like say a parade for Thanksgiving and the Macy's Day Parade, and seeing how the offshoots of it and where you take it from there, and the type of guests that you get and the different themes that you go with. That's always been something I thought was real neat, and I'm looking forward to seeing how that develops in the future. The healthy design one was one that I thought was real interesting in that respect too. When I thought of healthy design, I did not think you were going to be talking about how VA hospitals are designed and what all goes into that.
Yeah, that's a great example of what we try to accomplish on Sidewalk Radio, which is many voices coming together for one continuous conversation. And, you know, AM 1690 has been a great place, a great venue for this show as the voice of the arts. You can't have just one voice. And so typically we try to have, you know, at least a few different guests. And we love it when one can be unexpected. And when it came to healthy design, we had great architect, Matt Finn. We also had a U.S. Marine Corps vet coming on and talking about his experience. And, you know, in any type of research, it's very, very, not only is it helpful, but it's absolutely necessary to do your research in a primary fashion. And in this case, having his input really brought home the emotion that goes into design, which you don't think about too often. And I enjoyed that show. I'll tell you another. When we did the episode about the skyline, mm-hmm. and of course you're thinking like, okay, there's probably going to be an architect, or in this case, Rob Craig, an architectural historian. I don't think people were expecting, and when we started out the editorial process, I wasn't even thinking about getting someone who cares for the peregrine falcons that nest in the buildings above Atlanta. But that was fun. Maybe we can, you know, tune into that for a moment.
Of course. Let's do that.
They have adapted well, and they do live on cliffs in the wild. And, you know, Georgia doesn't have too many cliffs. We've got a few rocky areas in the northern part of the state. So that was where the nesting range extended. But as we've built cities and as we've brought the population of falcons back, they have come to accept these high-rise buildings as a substitute for a cliff.
Someday, my baby, when I am a man, and others have taught me.
Well, Gene, one thing that I have learned about you is that you do seem to be intrinsically a part of the city of Atlanta. You're very much involved with lots of different projects. You like to stay busy. You seem like a person who enjoys community. And I think that's one reason why you have a radio show that is ultimately kind of about community. But one thing that I've always admired about you personally that I think lots of people might not even know about is you've been involved for a long time with Big Brothers and Big Sisters. I think you're on the board, and you've been involved with them for over 10 years now.
Yeah, so Big Brothers, Big Sisters, it's a mentoring organization. It's a great organization. In fact, I started as a volunteer before I became a mentor there in 1999. So, you know, for you mathematicians out there, you can do it. But yeah, I was on their board. And
so, I wanted to ask you, I'm curious of your relationship with your little brother. Has that
Redman?
Redman? Shout out to Redman. If that has affected, and in what way, how you see Atlanta, how you see the city of Atlanta, and how it's maybe influenced you in your work and in your creative life.
It was nice to have the hands-on experience to truly understand the philanthropic power of our city. I think it's one of our greatest assets. And, you know, people do talk about it, but if you look at Atlanta in terms of giving, we are incredibly generous, and there's just so much. Anyone who gives back, though, will tell you, and I found it personally in my mentor relationship with Redman, that you go into it thinking that you're going to be giving something. I'm going to be spending my time with this kid, and what you realize is how much you get. And so I think by Atlanta giving so much, we do get so much. And we could sit here and like vent about traffic and parking and other things like horrible looking apartment buildings going up, but it really doesn't even hold a candle to all the positive sides of our city. And we try to do a feel good show here because, for one, why not? And also, it's good to know, you know, what makes Atlanta fun and important and worthwhile and cultural. We've got a lot of good things.
Fun talking about your little brother Redman, but I guess that brings us to Levi.
Yes.
And Levi and your wife Deanna Kansas definitely inspired the show Atlanta Baby, which I thought we might take a little listen to.
I would love to. Let's hear a little Atlanta Baby.
The miracle. When you're laboring people, you know, you know, people have their expectations, and, you know, we're dealing with the mother, and it's the transition, the mother and the father, watching that transition when that baby comes out, the look on those parents' face, the transition from the two of them to that child is it. No matter what their relationship was with one another, it pales for the amount of love that they're now going to shower on this child. It's a totally different thing. It's watching human beings love a human being unconditionally. It's amazing.
We sat down not too long ago to have a cup of coffee and talk about what was going to take place with Sidewalk Radio after 5 years, and the importance of kind of putting new life into things and not letting it fall into a certain category or a certain rhythm. So there's going to be hopefully some great changes coming towards the listeners with Sidewalk Radio. And you expressed a concern, or just more of an interest in having it be have a little bit more of a collaborative aspect to it.
I do think that radio in general, it's a medium that has been successful and is very established at this point. I think that it really kind of the golden era was in the 1930s. I think we can bring it into this new era of media, a digital realm, and push some boundaries with it. So many more people can get involved. It's not in an ivory broadcasting tower anymore.
There's no reason to not use and utilize, you know, the tools at our hands now, where people can, with their phone, make pretty decent recordings and submit them and email them up and share them. But still, one thing that
Can I add to that real quick?
Sure.
And let's challenge advertisers too, and advertising agencies. Come on. I mean, it doesn't have to be the same old thing, you know, just diced up and spit out a different way. Let's push how we can sustain and even push to new levels radio by a new type of underwriting model. In the past, you know, 5 years, radio has changed a lot. For me personally, I've developed an even greater appreciation, because it's like any other art form, and I think that you could include cuisine in this. When you procure the ingredients, when you work on the recipe, when you cook it just right and it comes out and you serve it, you have a much greater appreciation for what went into it and what's come out. And along that line, I think it'd be fun to maybe tune into a little bit of our Buford Highway show, because we talked a bit about food then, if it's okay with our producer slash host.
I'm getting kind of hungry, man. That sounds good. Let's head on down to Buford Highway.
Oh, of course. You're going to have some hit and misses when it comes to...
That's part of the adventure.
If you're going to get into some interesting cold tripe salads that... you know, they're going to use intestines and things. I mean, we call them chitlins in the South. But where I get a little sort of like, whoa, I don't know if I would choose that again, is when they serve them all jellied and cold as salads. Like, I love chitlins, but I like them spicy and hot and crispy, and that is the textural thing. If I'm eating tripe a lot of times, I like it braised with bright acid. But it's part of the fun. Again, you're eating at your own risk. This is not... When we go out to eat in restaurants, everything's not about an online review, or, you know, you actually are a guest in another country in a lot of ways. And so I think the best way to go there is with a spirit of adventure, enthusiasm, a sense of saying please and thank you a lot.
When you decide to walk the path of food and beverage, it is your responsibility to accept the fact that you are forever a student. There is more out there than any of us could ever expose ourselves to in one lifetime.
Continuing education. I'm glad you brought that up, because one of the best places to go on Buford Highway as a cook or someone who considers themselves a foodie and just geeks out about the stuff is the Buford Highway Farmer's Market.
Yeah.
It's amazingly fresh, bright produce. I mean, beautiful little baby cabbages and cilantro in many forms. You really opens your eyes to coriander and this idea of cilantro is not just what we think from a Central American experience or in salsas. It's long leaf. You're getting a lot of different flavors. There's a lot of interesting gourds in there. There's what's so great as well is you can walk through the meat section and get every part. It's one of the few places you could originally get things like pork belly, sliced, where you could buy tripe, where you can buy liver, for example. And it's all right there. And also you can walk aisles and hit a bunch of different cuisines. So I love the Japanese aisle there. I love Japanese food, and I love Japanese ingredients. But they've got a variety of soy sauce, and you can start finding your own soy sauce that you love. And beautiful fresh fish, It's a place, one of the few places you can find this here where you can actually buy live blue crabs. And that's amazing. I think it's fun to play the mystery basket game with yourself at home and cooking and saying, I'm going to just figure out taro.
Or I don't even know how to cut this fruit open, let alone.
Yeah, exactly. Just start goring into it with a paring knife. And like, is this good? It's a long, lonely highway when
you're traveling all alone. Gene, one thing that I think is interesting when I was getting ready to talk to you today about the 5-year anniversary is that November 16th will mark the 151st anniversary of Sherman burning Atlanta, and lots has happened since then. The city's rebuilt and struggled and grown and torn down and rebuilt again, and now we find ourselves, it seems, in a new phase of the city trying to interact with itself and bring people out to interact with it. You got the Beltline and all that's going on with that, the streetcar. And it seems like there's this real pull to get people out of their cars and out of their houses and apartments and neighborhoods and to back into the city. I had a great time one morning recording for Sidewalk Radio at the Daily World building on Auburn Avenue. And I learned a whole lot about that building. And I had no clue how involved you were in that aspect. What would you like to say about that?
Well, the Atlanta Daily World building specifically is as good of a jumping off point as any to the question, because that is a historic place in Atlanta's history, in African-American history, in that it was home to the first African-American daily newspaper in U.S. history. It's in the heart of the civil rights district, and blocks away from where Martin Luther King was born, a dividing line between race in Atlanta. And, if you look back at our history and the burning of Atlanta, it was because we were a target of the Civil War, in the Civil War, because we're a rail town. This town has a DNA, like we do as humans, and what is a city if not its people? And so if you look back, it's no surprise that we're having these reinventions and relooks at ourselves through things like the Beltline, taking abandoned rail, turning it into a cultural path. And we're exploring our history as our future in a positive direction, like the Center for Civil and Human Rights. We are spending tons and tons of money investing in infrastructure through transit like the Atlanta streetcar, which I'm very positive about. And so I think that as we look back in the 5 years of shows, and this will be the 54th episode, what we're really looking back at is, like you mentioned, over 150 years of Atlanta history. It's fun to take a look at that, but also consider where we're going in our future as a result. The Atlanta Daily World building is an example of an investment in that future, not just by me, but in a general citywide appreciation for preservation, not just the preservation of buildings, but of our history and culture. Because if we don't have that, we will have no idea where we're going you have to know where you've been. And so I really like that Atlanta has tempered its DNA to tear things down and starting to consider preserving it.
I mean, you wouldn't believe how often I get asked the question, so who was your favorite guest? And that's like asking a dolphin what its favorite trick is. They love them all, you know? I mean, I just have been lucky to talk to so many people. And so I'll answer the question, but it's going to be just a small, small sampling of over 270 guests during these 5 years. But love the conversation I had with style curator Sid Mashburn, artists Fahamu Piku and Radcliffe Bailey and Todd Murphy, preservationist Mark McDonald, the late, great Doug Allen from our Oakland Cemetery show was incredible. The brilliance of Michael and Leanne Gamble, the leadership of Joe Bancroft, author Jim Ockmoody, civil rights icon and U.S. Congressman John Lewis, Doug Shipman, Dr. Gordon Vernick, senior military historian Gordon Jones, poet Pearl Clegg, George Hart, film director Victor Levin, that was a riot, author Gary Pomerantz, he wrote Where Peachtree Meets Sweet Auburn, one of my favorite books, Stuart Herodner, the soul queen of New Orleans, Miss Irma Thomas, chef Linton Hopkins, chef Stephen Satterfield, and the legendary Annie Quattrano. So much fun with all of them. And then also, you know, brilliant minds like architect David Green from our Peachtree Street show, and Brian Leary, and Blondie, oh yeah, Blondie, Boyd Coons, always brilliant, friend and superior intellectual mind, Mr. Charles McNair, my buddy Greg Alterman, Steve Selig, the host of Coin Operated Radio, David Haney, Matt Finn, tactical urbanism leader extraordinaire, Mike Lydon, Dr. Chip Cole, Phil Harrison, Brian Bell and David Yocum of Buildings, Greg Best, of course, my friend, Grammy Award-winning producer Ben Allen, Coach Vince Dooley, Jack Halpern, Ricky Bevington, Atlanta City Council member Kwanzaa Hall, Carmi McDonald, Jim Strickland of Historical Concepts, Chantel Ritter, Matthew Bernstein, R. Land, Eric Levin, Octane's Tony Riffle, Chairman Emeritus of the Atlanta Braves, Mr. Bill Bartholomew, Marie Nygren, Bill Johnson. It was so fun to have Lane Shakespeare on. He's just a community activist and means so much to our city through his philanthropy. And of course, Ryan Gravel, a very close friend and I think the pride of Atlanta in many ways in and through his creation of the Beltline. I also definitely want to mention Shannon Powell with Midtown Alliance and Judy Forte, who's the superintendent of the Martin Luther King Jr. Historic Site with the National Park Service, and just so many more incredible individuals and inspiring leaders. As with any Sidewalk Radio episode, we always like to conclude with a gracious thank you. For this, our fifth-year anniversary show, I can't help but look to the future with great reverence for the past and the parade of fine folks who have helped us achieve this milestone. Clearly, family comes first to mind. My wife, Deanna, who is a major cheerleader and contributor, deserves a standing ovation. To our son, Levi, a constant inspiration and hopeful cultural beneficiary of our audio explorations, I stand fortunate and committed. A huge on-air hug to my biggest fan from day one, my mom, Sally Kansas. My dad, who always had something thoughtful and nice to say for each show, I dearly miss. And to my sister, Anne, who dressed nieces Katie and Lainey in Sidewalk Radio t-shirts as often as she possibly could, I love you all. Of course, I'd like to thank AM1690 and Joe Weber for giving me and us this incredible opportunity. Thanks a million to producer emeritus Max Arbus, who believed and guided from the beginning, and to Mr. Stephen Key, who weaves his own magic this very day and for the past 2 years as our producer extraordinaire. Hannah Amick and Nicholas Cooper Kedrick did more than plan, brainstorm, produce, and contribute. They are part and parcel to the success of the show. I sincerely thank you both. In fact, Hannah and I made the initial pitch together, and I remain incredibly grateful to you, my friend. A huge thank you to Bruce and Paula McAvoy for their true friendship, Jamie Allen for lending your storytelling talent to many of our conversations, the Office of Brothers for your creative talents, Jim Brams and Greg Darling, who are longtime friends on and off air and are our de facto social media ambassadors, to Ben Allen for crafting our killer theme song, Mr. Ryan Gravel as comrade in arms when considering what a better Atlanta can look like, and to the unbelievable generosity of Perkins & Will, a five-year sponsor and a company that truly cares about our city. To Hirsch Bednar Associates, absolute gratitude for your support and style. What would this show be without our incredible guest? Well, I guess a lot like me talking to myself. Not very entertaining. All kidding aside, thank you to some 270 guests along the way. Your words and wisdom, your passion and pursuits have been the content and character of Sidewalk Radio, collectively encompassing an entertaining, educational, and at many times profound voice representing our history and culture. And in true Sidewalk Radio fashion, always in vogue, hats off to our fans. We do this for you, with you, and because of you. Thank you so very much for always tuning in. Please keep the conversation going, and we'll see you again real soon.